Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having an absolutely terrific day. A lot of stuff going on today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Awesome. I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's kind of a cloudy day down here today, and I'm so excited because I went to the Florida State-Miami football game this weekend and watched Florida State take another beating, and found out yesterday afternoon that our head coach, after a season and a half, is being terminated by the athletic department in Florida State University and the president of the university. And so this is a good day, and I'm glad he had an $18 million golden parachute, for he should never have been hired to start with, but he is there. And you say, why would you possibly start off a show talking about Florida State? Well, I graduated there three times. And so I'm still thinking about it. And I was just thinking about it again a minute ago, so that's why I started off the show this way. So we'll see if Florida State can actually become a force to be reckoned with once again. And I told a man on Saturday night during the game who was sitting right behind me, who was actually on the board, the person who kind of like elects and fires the head coach and one of the people on it. And I told him, I said, you know, Bobby Bowden had a vision that would be Florida State football. This is not it. After Miami put an unbelievable, you know, beat down on us on Saturday night. So I'm glad the Florida State people actually did something, which in bureaucracy case, as far as university case, it's hard for them to move or make a decision. So I'm glad they did anything. Now, to totally change the subject, now that I've reported on you on Florida State, I want to talk about healing and not being healed. Yesterday, I had an old friend of mine who I hadn't seen in many years come by to see me. He had some issues with blood pressure. He wanted to come by and talk to me. And he had a brother-in-law who basically had diabetes. And, you know, the young boy, he was a Christian. He didn't get healed. And he felt God had abandoned him, is how I'm reading into this. And he rejected and denied God, denied Christ and everything else. Got divorced from his first wife, and then was remarried to his second wife as a vampire, with his second wife being a witch. You know, you can't make this stuff up. And I want to stop it for just a second and talk about this whole situation. Here's the problem I have with faith healers. Now, I'm not picking on all of them, because they're not all like this. They're always quick to point the blame that if you're not healed, it's because of your lack of faith. It's your fault you're not being healed. If God's miracle working doesn't work through them and into you, then it's your fault because you have a lack of faith, and that's why you're not being healed. Now, you know, the Bible talks about this. It's because of the lack of faith Jesus went in and basically said that these people weren't healed in the communities he went into. And in some cases, that may be true. It may be true. They may have the lack of faith. They may not believe in God. They may not believe in Christ. They may not believe in the ability of being healed supernaturally, and they're not healed. Got that. But you can't throw a wet towel on that entire situation and say, this is your fault, this is why it's happening. You've got to look at a lot of variables. Number one, we don't know what your parents did or what your grandparents did from an epigenetic standpoint. We don't know what happened with all that. We don't know the DNA that could have caused you to have diabetes or caused you to have cancer or caused you to have a problem with all kinds of a myriad of other health issues. We don't know what your personal lifestyle choices have been. We don't know that you decided to drink 12 sodas a day every single day all of your life, even after you came down with diabetes and you expected God to heal you drinking sodas. We don't know. I don't know this young guy. He's, by the way, he's dead now. He's already died. He died in his 40s. And so may he rest in peace. I hope he was saved. But the reality is this. You know, we don't know what other variables are involved. This is the same thing that happens to people when they're not blessed financially, when they're struggling financially. And finally, about 15, 16 years ago, I put together a CD series called Maximum Success, How to Live Disease-Free, Debt-Free, and Worry-Free. And I give you like 37 principles of why people aren't blessed, and 30 reasons why people do to not be blessed. And this is like a giant vault with the riches of the universe in it, with like a 10 combination tumbler that has to be done in order. And there's certain things you have to do to know the numbers in order to open up this vault, to have the riches of the universe, you know, the covenant that you have with God bestowed upon you. And a lot of it's dependent upon what you do. Just being real honest with you guys right now, I tell people when we talk about finances, I ask them, I say, look at your Beacon score. And you say, well, this is a really kind of a, I don't want to hear all this stuff. Okay, I know this is one of these happy, happy shows right now, but I'm going to give you some good news here at the end. We have to look at people's Beacon score. We have to look at their word. We have to look at how much money they owe people, if they pay their bills, if they try to pay their bills. And I realize that people file bankruptcy over medical bills, over sickness and disease, over divorce, over businesses that have failed. I got that. I don't have a bit of problems with bankruptcy whatsoever. But what I'm saying is, look at your life. You know, if you tell somebody you're going to be there at 10 o'clock, do you show up at 10 o'clock? If you have a new job, do you show up ready to work at 10 o'clock? Or are you just simply just pretending like you're going to go to work? So there's all these different variables that people need to take a look at as far as being blessed. The same thing is true with healing. I have seen this repeatedly, friends. People have a problem with blood sugar issues or a problem with cancer, and they go forward and they get healed, and they basically completely and totally recover. And then what happens is they go back to the same lifestyle choices that they had to start with that caused these diseases to come upon them, and the diseases come back, and then they say, oh, it's from your lack of faith that caused this. Now you go, wait a minute. What are you trying to say, Ted? Well, here's what I'm trying to say. If you eat a certain way that massively increases your risk of cancer or heart disease or diabetes or stroke or whatever, and you basically get delivered and God heals you and he basically sends a supernatural power into you and fixes you, if you go back to your old lifestyle, this stuff just comes back on you. It's a natural physical law. The curse causeless shall not come. We've got to understand why these things happen. And a lot of it could be, the Bible also says, If you return evil for good, evil will never leave your house. And I've seen this repeatedly. I mean, here's a guy who's supposed to be a Christian, loves God, loves Jesus, has diabetes. And see, instead of his managing the diabetes and praying God and believing God that he's going to be able to control his blood sugar more efficiently because he didn't get a complete and total supernatural healing, even though he wouldn't change his diet, which his diet was bad, and I know that, you know, he transgresses away from God and goes to the dark side and gets married as a vampire. You can't make this stuff up. See, this is the problem that people have. They want to believe like it's all up to God and there's no personal responsibility associated with it. Now, let me explain to you how this works. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord, you shall be saved. If then. It's an if-then situation. In the Old Testament, it says basically, if you eat this way, then you won't have these long, lingering diseases come upon you. If you don't, then these diseases are going to come upon you. And folks need to realize that there is a causal relationship. Many times disease, sickness and disease in particular, is caused by the food and the diet that we choose, including diabetes, heart disease, and stroke, and cancer. And so why are we going to blame God when he gave us his word in the Old Testament that basically, hey, eat this way, you die, don't eat this way, you live? He said, well, he wouldn't be that direct with it. No, he's pretty much that direct with it. He goes, choose life or choose death. You choose today. That's about as direct as it says in the word. And so we have to understand that we've got to eat the right way, that we've got to eat clean. We've got to basically take supplements because our food has been so processed. I have so many times, Austin, we've had so many ministries who basically were missionaries who've been in other and third world countries, and we had the clinic, would come into the office with parasitic infestations. And they believed they could eat whatever they want to eat and do whatever they want to do, and it wouldn't affect them. Guys, the dietary laws and the sanitary laws were never changed by God. God's relationship to man and man's relationship to man were completely changed by the cross and through Jesus. But the sanitary laws and the dietary laws were never changed. These are immutable laws, like the law of gravity. If you step off a 10-story building and you scream, I don't believe in the law of gravity, as you plummet to your death, you're going to find a really negative situation there at the bottom of the pile, right? And even Jesus, when he was tested in his physical body to step off the temple, Satan tested him, said the angels would lift him up. He still didn't test God. And that's what he said, don't test God. See, so this is the problem that we run into in Christian churches. You go to the Christian buffets, the Christian fellowships, the Christian potluck dinners, and all the other things they have. You know, every other thing's a pork casserole. And, you know, and we know the World Health Organization says the number one cause of global cancer is pork. Well, we want to, the Christians come down with pork and they go, oh, it's God's will that you have pork. You must have, no. It's not God's will that you have cancer. It's not God's will that you have pork. It's not God's will that you die like that. But we choose to break God's natural principles. And because of that, we have sickness and disease come upon us. Now, there are the exceptions that a person has a problem genetically as far as what they've done because of how the mother ate. You know, like with spinal bifida, not having enough folate, all the different nutrients that a woman needs when she's pregnant. We talk about that all the time. But that has nothing to do with the person who's got these diseases. That was the choices that were made by the parents or the mother of that child who was being carried by that mother who was basically being negligent in her dietary protocol. One time we were in church, Austin, and there was a young baby behind us just screaming. The baby was like 3-4 weeks old. And I turned around, and the woman, the girl, who's like 19 years old, is giving him soda in a baby bottle, soda. And the baby was just absolutely just insanely, just unbelievably upset, probably starving, getting soda, super acidic pH, soda in its digestive tract. And I turned around, I said something to her, and she kind of looked at me like, well, why are you, what, mind your own business? I had to get up and move. And you think to yourself, why would you give a baby soda? Hey, guys, because of a lack of knowledge, it's ignorance. It doesn't necessarily mean that woman's stupid, it means she's just ignorant. And see, and this is the problem that I have with all of the stuff we're talking about today. It's like saying a baby, an infant, needs to get a Gardasil shot to prevent, you know, HPV. Well, the baby's not sexually active, so why are you doing this with a baby who's a newborn getting a Gardasil shot because you're trying to prevent HPV? No, no. This is the eugenics globalist protocol trying to prevent that girl from ever developing proper ovarian function to allow her to ovulate, to reduce the population of the planet, which now is actually going backwards downhill now because of these huge immunization vaccine protocols they put all over the planet, even in third world countries. The growth trend of population is going down, down, down. Why have they done this? Well, because it's part of the eugenics protocol they developed back in the 40s and 50s through the Jason Committee, Jason Scholars. Okay, this is the same thing that's been going on for years and years and years and years and years. They want to cull the population, and they're doing it through our immune system and through basically fertility. You know, I was at Florida State this weekend, and I was shocked at how many guys were feminized. And it's not just Florida State. Don't start picking on me because it's Florida State. I see it in all the major schools that I go to or I visit, or all the major areas of the country that I visit. And I talked to one. I went to church yesterday with my son, Harrison, my youngest son up there. And we were talking, and I stepped out for a moment, and I was talking to one of the guys at the desk who was like 24 years old. And I said to him, I said, why is it that girls don't date and guys don't date anymore? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, girls don't want to date. Guys don't want to date. They just want to hang out. And I said, it has to do with social media. It has to do with what they've done to the brains of these children. And it also has to do, you know, I didn't tell him this, but I thought it has to do with the hormones they put into the food supply. You know, everything is about trying to force this unnatural agenda that boys and girls are the same and there's no difference for them sexually or physically. Transgender in England this past weekend went absolutely berserk. This guy, because the midwife has said to him during a delivery that transgenders can't deliver babies. And he went berserk, started screaming and yelling and just went off the cork because he's messed up in the head. And you say, well, Ted, why is this all happening? It's all about the inversion again of creating a disconnect between God and man. It's the same group of people that always do this. You know, we did a show last week. We played a tape on Halloween with Doc Marquis that he had done it with us a few years ago before he died. May he rest in peace. And he talked about the Wicker Man, and he talked about bobbing for apples in the boiling, burning liquid, and you know, all the stuff they did to prevent themselves from being sacrificed via the Wicker Man. And he talked about in detail how this society had gone to this sick perversion as far as worshiping Lucifer and these fallen angels. There's no bottom end to perversion once God is taken out of the equation and Jesus Christ is eliminated. There is no end to this. It goes down as deep and as far into the depths of depravity as you can possibly go, into the sickest, the most weirdest, perverted recesses of the mind of the secular human. And, you know, burning human people alive, passing them through the fire, aborting the fetuses before they're born, eating the fetuses. We've talked about all of this as a delicacy. All the sick stuff these guys are involved in to basically promote their father, which is Lucifer. And guys, it's so important that we stand that line, put a line in the sand. The new Terminator movie flopped. I haven't even seen it, have no interest in seeing it. I mean, I don't want to see a 75-year-old Arnold running around like he's supposed to be a cyborg. I have no interest in watching that, or Linda, whatever her name is, as far as running around like some kind of dyke trying to be this macho guy. I mean, I don't want to see any of this stuff. And now Hollywood has learned, when they put this stuff out there and they have a little 5-foot-tall woman beating up a 6-foot-6 man who weighs 300 pounds, that, you know, that people don't want to see it anymore because they realize it's just an inversion and it's just a lie. But Hollywood would rather go broke than to stop the lies, because it's part of what they're trying to do in bringing in the Antichrist and separating us from God because of their atavistic hatred of Jesus Christ, which nobody wants to talk about but me. Now, see, this is the craziest part I see in all of this, is that all of this stuff goes right back to that young man saying, I'm not healed. It's God's responsibility. I no longer believe in him. Guys, don't do that. Don't allow yourself to go down that slippery slope. Take responsibility. Say, well, maybe I ate a lot of bad food. Maybe that's why they came down with diabetes. Maybe the dairy products, because they were tainted, massively increased the risk of, you know, type 1 diabetes, which they do, by the way. Maybe something else happened from an epigenetic standpoint that God had nothing to do with, that was chosen before I was born. And maybe I just need to do the best I can to believe God that I'm going to be healed and manage my diabetes to the best of my ability and do everything I possibly can to just, you know, basically extend my life and not pretend like I'm a vampire and get married to a real witch. What kind of weird stuff is this? What kind of rebellion is this? And guys, think through it. Now, secondly, if you know people like this, which I knew these people, but I didn't know he was dead, and I didn't know he was pretending to be a vampire and all this other kind of stuff. If I know people like this, I don't associate with them. You say, well, why would you not do that? Because I don't want to be around it. I don't want to listen to it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to think about it. Now, I'll witness to them. If I find out that I knew them at one time, but they fall away like this, I'll talk to them. You know, and I'll say, look, guys, you know, this isn't okay. This isn't okay with God. It's not okay with the scripture. It's not okay with anything. It's not okay with society in a whole before it turned perverse. I said, you got to realize that these things aren't okay. I will do that. Hence why they don't really want to see me more than once. That's okay. But the point is, we've got to draw a line in the sand. I mean, where's your line in the sand? Let me ask you that. You're my listeners. I prayed for you today. Where is your line in the sand? Where will you say no more? Is it supporting abortion? Is it supporting adultery? Is it supporting drug usage? And I'm not talking about using CBD oil and stuff like that, or if you've got medical marijuana and you've got some debilitating disease and you're using this fight off pain. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, injecting heroin or taking cocaine or doing other things like that. Where is your line in the sand where you say, I won't go there? I'm not going to do this. I won't live like this. I won't be part of this. Where is the line in the sand? Because what's happened is our lines and our sands have become fuzzy. They're kind of like, they're no longer commandments. They've kind of become suggestions. And that's that moral relativism that's come across in Christianity now. Now we've got Hillsong promoting Halloween and how we should take it back from the devil. Well, you know, why do we want to go to the witch's Halloween and the high death occult? Why do we want to be involved with any of this? Why do we want to be part of that? Why do we want to be involved in anything that has to do with Halloween? Why do we want to do that? Why don't we just say, no, I choose not to participate in that? Why do we have to be that people? Why does Joel Osteen have to go to a Lady Gaga concert when she's promoting full-blown homosexual behavior in the concert? Why do we have to go see The Star Is Born with Lady Gaga when we know what an unbelievable pervert she is? Why do we have to go watch a movie like that? Why do we have to continue to go see movies like Lion King when we know Disney basically said that they're not going to allow movies to be made in Georgia anymore because of their heartbeat law? When are we going to say, you know what, the heck with these weirdos, we're not going to give them our money anymore? When are we going to do that? I mean, I thought I'd ask that question. When are we in aggregate going to do that? When are we going to draw that line in the sand and say, you know what? No. And when are we going to stop blaming God for things that we've done? My grandmother had done a plaque. I have it on my wall in my office. It says, Schwei Leben Stutzen Brecken Nie Gebet und Arbeit Heißen Sie. And now you go, what the heck does that mean? It means there's two fundamental principles, pillars of life that cannot be broken. Prayer and work. You've got to pray like it's all up to God, and you've got to work like it's all up to you. And you'll find the balance there in the middle, and God's going to reward you because he says he rewards those who diligently seek him and do what he would will. Guys, it's so important. And listen to me. I had one fellow email me this weekend or text me, and he said how he's praying so much more now that he's learned about the power of prayer. His name's Gene. And he prays like all the time now to God. God, we need to be praying every day. God, listen to me. I can't emphasize that to you enough. You literally change the fabric of space-time when you pray. And this is why the globalists are trying their best to destroy Christianity, because they don't want us praying. They don't want you thinking the way I'm teaching you to think right now. They want you to stay basically, you know, in this realm of, well, you can't talk about that because it's not politically correct nonsense. Just right down the street from us in Lithia this weekend, two guys break into a house. They pistol whip the husband. The wife's 8 months pregnant. She sees what's going on. She runs into the other room, and they're trying to steal, rob, kill, destroy, whatever, probably drug-related. The lady runs in the back, grabs an AR-15, nails one of them, shoots one of them. He runs out, dies in a ditch. The other guy runs away after his buddy got shot. And you know what? They won't tell us if they're black, if they're white, if they're Hispanic, if they're green, or if they're stinky. They won't tell us what they look like so we can try to find out who they are. Why? Because of this stupid political correct crap. And I'm so over it. They won't tell us what the perpetrators look like. I mean, why can't they say he was a white male, 6 foot tall, about 180 pounds, blah, 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 blah. Why can't they tell us that? Or a black male, or Hispanic male, or a Martian. I don't care what they tell us. Just give us some type of description. Can't do that. It's not politically correct. Why can't you describe an assailant? Why can't you do that? It's because of political correctness. And that's the problem that we have. We want to pretend like God's not real. That we have to completely be careful with everything we say. We have to lose our First Amendment right. And mind you, mark this in your calendar, guys. I'm telling you this today in November 2019. That if we continue to do this, if we continue to act like this, if we continue to promote this woke agenda, this transgender agenda, and all of the stuff that Hollywood is pushing on us in droves right now, that our society, as we know, will cease to exist, and the United States will crumble into the ash heap of history. We've got to wake up and stop this. This is not a political solution, though we should vote and be active in our local politics and national politics. This is a spiritual problem. We have deep spiritual rot that's happening in the United States because of these Sabbatean, Frankist, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Druids, pick a name, Baal worshiper, Moloch worshiper, Astral worshiper, Canaanite religion worshipers. You pick the name you want. Synagogue of Satan. Pick it. I don't care what you want to call it. This is the group that runs the world and controls the energy field around here through their human sacrifice. Because of their Hollywood movies, they completely control the media, and we've got to stand in aggregate against these wacko nutbags and all the stuff they continue to promulgate to the population of this planet, particularly that of the United States. Austin, what do you think?
That's really well said. That was an excellent intro, bud. And this is exactly why they're doing this to the younger generation with this perverted transgender ideology now that they're pushing so aggressively on the entire young generation through the school system and through the media. And I saw the article in Lithia. I read it this morning. I actually saw some info on it over the weekend as well. And I saw the exact same thing, bud. I went and pulled up 8 different news outlets online this morning. 8, because I thought the exact same thing. Because every single news outlet said the second suspect, the home invasion suspect, fled in a vehicle, and everybody needs to be on the lookout for any suspicious people. Really? Really, that's the best description you're going to give everybody in Lithia right now, which, by the way, is an extremely rural area by Lithia Springs, old phosphate mining area. It's got a population of, I think, like 15,000-20,000 people. It's not a big city. So you're telling everybody you need to look out for a suspicious person. That's the best description you can possibly give to the entire town of Lithia Springs that just had a double home invasion and one, basically, somebody getting shot and killed over it, while the homeowner basically got pistol whipped with broken, I think he got a broken eye socket, multiple broken ribs, and a concussion. This is a violent home invasion, guys. And I'm very, very, very glad that she had an AR-15 she was able to protect herself and her family with. And this is the concept that they want to remove from the general population. When I say they, I mean the communists, the hardcore leftists that are wanting to come in now and disarm the American population. I thought it was ironic that old Beto boy had to drop out of his little race, his presidential race the other day. Oh, I'm dropping out now. Yeah, because if you look at the numbers and you look at the polls, after he made that idiotic comment a month and a half ago about, heck no, you're not going to keep your AR-15s or your AK-47s, even a lot of the Democrats stopped supporting him after that. That's good. That means that at least the American population is still not so brainwashed and fluoridated and immunized that we really believe that we need to be forcibly disarmed. He dropped out. I mean, his poll numbers completely and totally went through the floor in the mud after that. We have to retain the ability to defend ourselves by any means necessary, and that's a concept that we cannot allow to dissipate. We have to transfer that on to our children and our children's children, because once the generation finally steps forward, and this is what I think they're trying to groom this younger generation for, that's why they're trying to make them, you gotta think about it, how how in the world is a generation possibly going to defend themselves against tyranny or an invading force of any kind if they can't even figure out what bathroom they're supposed to go to today? I mean that legitimately. If you can't even figure out what you are, and you can't even figure out what toilet you're supposed to use, and you can't even figure out if you're supposed to have a period or not supposed to have a period because you're so stinking confused from all the lies and rhetoric that you've been told, how in the world are you possibly going to even take up any significant arms to defend your country if we're invaded? You're not. You're not. You're literally going to beg for mercy. That's all you're going to do. You have no idea what's even going on. And more people are starting to wake up now. I don't know if you guys saw the snippet on Fox News over this weekend. This was great. Mike Ritlin, who's a retired team guy, he's actually a retired SEAL. He's the founder of Warrior Dog Foundation, and they were interviewing him on Fox News tonight. It was live. And he was discussing how this whole aspect of the canine that was allegedly involved in this whole Baghdadi thing, that there's been a huge influx of individuals wanting to buy this breed of dogs. And he encouraged people. He said, listen, he goes, this is not a Labrador Retriever. This is not even a Pit Bull or a Rottweiler. These dogs, they're basically, I forgot what name they were, the Mals or something. They're basically over from Europe. He said, these dogs are incredibly territorial. They're incredibly aggressive, and they need to be trained from birth until basically delivery. And you need to make sure that you are getting one fully trained, and you are going through the training yourself. These dogs are not family dogs. And then he went on to say, basically, so I encourage everybody, this is on live television, I encourage everybody to make sure you make the right decision. And also, Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. Boom! On live television, on live Fox News, dropped it. The anchor didn't even know what to say. Basically, they pulled the feed immediately, obviously. And the anchor goes, we'll have to discuss more on that a little bit later, I guess. And they went to a commercial break. These are the things that the population needs to start bringing up because we have the voice. And as a government by the people, for the people, we have to start being vocal about what's going on, and we have to start making sure that the hardcore leftists know that we're not going to go down without a fight. And I don't necessarily mean physical fight. I also mean information fight. If they want to put out this rhetoric and propaganda and lies on a regular basis, then we're going to combat them with the truth. And we're going to continue to combat them with the truth, and we're going to make sure they know that we don't believe their garbage they're continually trying to peddle to make sure they change the entire narrative. So I thought that was really interesting when I saw it over this weekend. I really encourage more and more people to get the truth out there. That's why we do what we do on our show. That's why we try to encourage people to forward our show. That's why we tell people to sign up for our free weekly newsletter. There's so much everybody can do right now, even without going out there necessarily and going on live Fox television or starting your own radio show if you don't want to commit to something like that. But getting out there and bringing up topics to other people, maybe at your church, maybe at your school, maybe at your university, maybe at your work. And obviously you have to understand the context of what you're talking about things. There's certain topics that you may not want to broadcast over a whole megaphone of people, but you know, and you kind of know the landscape of what you're dealing with, and getting this information out there and making sure the truth is told. And also too, like I just said, making sure that these hardcore leftists know that we're not going to believe their lies and rhetoric and just idly sit by and accept them underneath the sickening umbrella of political correctness. We have to make sure that that is unbelievably crystal clear. In Oklahoma City now, police are investigating flyers as hate crimes that say it's okay to be white. I kid you not. They've somebody's put a couple flyers up over by basically in Oklahoma City, and police now are saying they're treating it as a potential hate crime. They said although authorities acknowledge that the flyers are not a threat and that it's not a crime posting them up, the individuals responsible are being investigated as a hate crime. They also go on to say that there was another one that was posted in Massachusetts that said it's okay to be white, and the ADL came out and said this excludes people, this targets people, and this is blatantly a hate crime. Now, it's so funny because when you see all this rhetoric on mainstream media, they talk about Black Lives Matter and Police Lives Matter and Hispanic Lives Matter, and then you come out and say, well, White Lives Matter too. Whoa, you can't say that. You're a racist. You can't make a comment like that. And you go, Wow, that's kind of harsh. So you can say your life matters, you can say your life matters, and you can say your life matters, but if I say my life matters, I'm a racist bigot. I'm really not sure on how this entire thing operates anymore. Are we really getting that disgustingly politically correct that if you make a comment like saying it's okay to be white or it's okay to be anything, that it's basically racist? Because it's ironic when people have done this. They did this a year ago, if you guys remember this. They got flyers up. And they went to one part of the school and they put flyers up that said it's okay to be black. And they were like, oh, well, yeah, it's fine. You know, this is probably Black Lives Matter supporting this and this is completely okay. And they went to another side of campus and they said the exact same thing. It's okay to be white. And all of a sudden it got the same response. They said this is probably basically a hate crime. Whoever put this up is a racist. And then they went back and they said, well, we need to address the context of which both of these are being presented and how you guys are having a completely bigoted view by just changing the color that's on the paper, by saying one's black, one's white. It's completely the same. Why is that being done? It's being done to essentially eliminate nationality, the political aspect is being used to get rid of nationalism. They want to prevent the American population from being proud of anything, and primarily the white population. And I'm not saying this from a racial standpoint. I'm saying this because it's being targeted specifically this way. If they can continue to make whites feel so inferior, to feel so baseless, to feel so small, and essentially on turn of that, have no national unity, we have no ability to defend this country anymore. And I'm not saying there are not a ton of good American, Christian, you know, Hispanic and black patriots, but a large percentage of the patriot community is still white, especially a lot of the ones that have deployed and come back and are basically retired military. They know this. That's why they pretty much say, you know, patriot, retired military, white Christian male are the most basically dangerous domestic terrorists in the United States. They've come out and said that. They're domestic terrorists just for being that. So everybody needs to understand what we are dealing with right now and what we are facing. Also, too, in other news, this is something that's a little bit troubling as well. As we saw this happen in 2013, and it's starting up again. President Trump last week said the Justice Department is now preparing to launch a sweeping crackdown on crime nicknamed the Purge. The Surge. The term commonly associated with George Bush administration in 2007 after they deployed to Iraq. Now, what's interesting about this is they're saying that Attorney William Barr will announce a new crackdown on violent crime, targeting gangs and drug traffickers in high crime cities and dangerous rural areas. And now I fully agree with the fact that the crime in Chicago and other areas like that have become horrific and they need to do something about it. However, here's the kicker in that entire concept that he's bringing out that nobody's bringing up. He goes on to say at the end of it, to help keep us safe, I've made $600 million worth of surplus military equipment available to local law enforcement. Now, he's doing this again. This is what Obama did back in the early 2010, 2012, if you guys remember this. He designated Homeland Security to start giving federal grants to local police departments and sheriff's departments for body armor, machine guns, helicopters, night vision, MRAPs. I personally have know about the Polk County Sheriff's Department has three different MRAPs in their possession. They have a small one, they have a medium one, and they have an insanely big one, really big one. Now, the thing that nobody wants to talk about with these is most of the time when the law enforcement gets them, they pay anywhere from like $2,000 to $2,500 for them. I didn't misquote that. I said around $2,500 for them. If you guys remember, I think when Lockheed Martin and another company that basically got the contract for the MRAPs, they were charging the Pentagon upwards of $450,000 for a small one, all the way up to, I think, $700,000 or $800,000 for a very large MRAP per piece. Almost $800,000 for one MRAP. And, of course, they brought them back from the Middle East. They give them to the law enforcement agencies for around $2,000 to $3,000. And that primarily was only to cover the cost of shipping and transport to that sheriff's department. Now, one thing that a lot of people don't know as well is that these MRAPs are an incredibly big money pit. They had a ton of maintenance associated with them. They're literally like the old Humvees were when they were deployed in the Middle East. They have to have their own mechanic team all the time fixing and repairing these MRAPs and getting parts for them on a regular basis. Now, the aspect of what we're looking at here is a lot of this equipment that was given back to the sheriff's departments in the early 2010, 2012, 2013 is now becoming very difficult to maintain because a lot of that equipment was deployed in the sandbox in the Middle East back in the late 2000s. So a lot of this equipment now is upwards of 15 years old, and it's becoming very difficult to maintain and keep in any type of price aspect. So now we're bringing a whole lot of the equipment back from Syria right now. Remember this. We're bringing a whole lot of the old equipment back from Afghanistan, and new deployments are being pushed out to Afghanistan now. New equipment. So they're recycling the material, recycling the MRAPs, recycling the gear, and now, 5-6 years later, they're giving local law enforcement all new equipment. Understand that this is being done, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinion, to militarize the United States law enforcement officers to an extent that we've never seen done in U.S. history. It happened in 2012, and now it's happening again. A lot of this equipment's still going to be used, and it's still going to be kept, basically, in the aspects of it. I understand using MRAPs and armored personnel vehicles to go in unbelievably high-crime areas in the aspect of, like, Chicago. If you're going in for deploying for somewhere with local, you know, sheriff, and you have to use those, I get that. But giving these, I mean, we've seen this in some rural counties. I mean, rural counties, they got a population of like 6,000-7,000 people with like some of the lowest crime rates, and they get a Bearcat, or better yet, they get an MRAP, and they're running to run around. The issue you run into with this is they have to justify the expenditures and the maintenance for having them. So they have to have more and more crackdowns, more and more raids, more and more home invasions via the sheriff's department in order to confiscate more guns, more drugs, and more money so they can turn around and make it justified that they have this equipment. Now, the next kicker to that is that we're also seeing red flag gun laws that are being issued all over the country now in 17 different states, including a massive amount, almost 3,000 individuals have been red flagged in the state of Florida since summer of 2018. Now, as you guys know, when they go in and they do this now, more and more publicity has been piped up about these red flag gun laws. So, law enforcement needs more and more personnel protection when they go do these raids. Now they have justification to purchase more MRAPs, more personnel, more armored personnel carriers to conduct these red flag gun laws because why? Hey, if you can buy an MRAP for $3,000, that's a heck of a deal. I mean, I'd love to buy one for $3,000, even if you got to maintain it. That's a pretty cool toy to run around in. Except, of course, Homeland Security makes it very, very clear that civilian personnel and civilian purchases are heavily restricted and are not allowed of these vehicles, which is what also bothers me, because if local law enforcement, which is basically, you know, police departments, have the ability to buy these, why in the world can't civilians buy them? It's just a question of mine. If you have local police that can buy this stuff, why can't civilians buy them? Not that you necessarily need an MRAP, but telling you you can't own one, but law enforcement can get one for $3,000 seems to show me that they're trying to make sure law enforcement has a significant superior advantage in any type of altercation at any point in time for a specific reason. Well, you leave it at that. So I just thought that was interesting. Now, Dad, Trump is basically designating $600 million to arm the sheriff's departments again with more surplus military equipment that's coming over from Syria and Afghanistan right now.
You know, Austin, back in the 70s when we had real music, you guys never really had real music. I mean, real music. They could actually sing, and everything wasn't lip-synced, and everything wasn't, like, voice-edited and with all the different types of computer programs they have now. Now everybody just lip-syncs. I mean, Manila Vanilli basically got busted for that. One of the guys committed suicide for it, and now everybody seems to do it because they don't want to have a real person who knows how to sing. They want to have a person who's completely controlled, who's pretty much signed their doggone life away in blood and a contract to Lucifer, I guess is what I hear, is the grapevine to become famous in the music or entertainment industry. But need I try to digress? There was a song that was done in the 70s, and it was as good as it got. And I'll read it to you. And, you know, and I'm going to just let you, then I'll tell you, of course, you're going to recognize many of you before we even get started. It says, "We'll be fighting in the streets with our children at our feet, and the morals they worshiped will be gone. And the men who spurned us on sit in judgment of all wrong. They decide, and the shotgun sings the song." Whoa. "Smile and grin at the change all around. Pick up my guitar and play just like yesterday. Then I'll get on my knees and pray. The change that had to come, we knew it all along. We were liberated from the fold, that's all. and the world looks just the same, and history ain't changed because the banners they've flown are in the last war. Take a bow for the new revolution. Smile and grin at the change all around. I move myself and my family aside if we happen to be left alive. I'll get all my papers and smile at the sky. Oh, I know that the hypnotized never lie. Do you? There's nothing in the streets that looks any different to me, and the slogans are replaced by the by. And a parting on the left is not a parting on the right, and all the beards have grown longer overnight. Take a bow for the new revolution. Smile and grin at the change all around. Then I'll get on my knees and I'll pray. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. And, of course, I've left out parts of that so you wouldn't know what it was. The Who. We won't get fooled again. Probably the greatest rock song that's ever been written, if you like rock music. And this song's about 10 minutes long. It goes on, and it crescendos. And finally it says, meet the old boss, the new boss, the same as the old boss. As long as we allow the international banking cartel to run our country through lobbying groups, through bribes and through blackmails like we've seen with Jeffrey Epstein, the old boss will always be the new boss. The same old boss that we thought was the boss, good old gay Kenyan Barack Obama, his transgender wife, according to Joan Rivers, the same group who ran him, run Donald Trump. It's the same group. It's always the same group. We're being basically manipulated by all of this talk of this ridiculous impeachment. I mean, Barack Obama had like over 20 things that he could have been impeached for, including Fast and the Furious, including IRS Gate, including what he did with Iran. All of this stuff he could have been impeached over, and the media completely ignored, because the media, it's the same boss. It's the new boss. It's the old boss. It's the Rothschilds. It's the international banking cartels. And you say, this is what you talk about all the time. Yeah, you're darn right is what I talk about. I had an evangelical leader who goes to the White House tell me the other day when I told him this again. He goes, you sound like a broken record. I said, no. You sound like a brainwashed record is what you sound like. See, and this is the problem that we have. People, God, I've got to hand it to these guys. Donald Trump went after the evangelical vote. It was a brilliant move. He's a complete and total heathen. Whether he's saved or not, I don't know. All I'm talking about is how he acts. He wants to use God's name in vain repeatedly. I mean, he treats women like they're objects. I mean, the guy's a complete and total pig. Forgive me if you love Donald Trump. He is. I love him, hate him, or whatever. And I just had another talk show host tell me this morning, it's only Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone that's standing between us and tyranny in the world. And I'm like, wait a minute. Donald Trump is being run by the same old boss that's the same new boss. Nothing has changed. The difference is this. So many of the alternative show people are doing exactly what the TV evangelists and these large mega church pastors who've been invited to the White House to do. They've been caught up in the quote-unquote hysteria of knowing a sitting president being invited to the Oval Office, and they're starstruck by this guy. And so because they know him, they want to believe what he says is true, though he's a habitual chronic pathological liar who drinks a gallon of diet sodas a day. I mean, which massively increases the risk of brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, and optic nerve degradation. And by the way, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Thought I'd throw that one in there, too. And this is what Donald Trump is. And I thought you'd like that, Austin. But this is what's going on right now. We've got a group of people out there that are basically starstruck with Trump, and they won't stop and look at it. Now he's given MRAPs and military equipment to everybody. And the reason I threw that little meme in there about Jeffrey Epstein is I put several memes on our website news site. You got to, by the way, you got to go to that. We spent a lot of time putting news stories on that you need to hear. And it's the viral meme campaign that's keeping Jeffrey Epstein's story alive. And I love it. You know, they'll talk about killer whales in Antarctica, and also they'll say, and by the way, Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. All these little memes. And guys, this is grassroots movement that we're not going to believe the lie. Personally, I don't even believe Jeffrey Epstein is dead. I didn't believe the whole story when I was young that Adolf Hitler killed himself, and that, you know, Ken LaHaye died mysteriously in the cell a few hours after sentencing. I don't believe any of that stuff. None of it. Because it's all show and tell. It's circus for the masses. You know, Roger Stone now basically is now going to basically have a trial, which is going to be another circus clown show in D.C. And it made the Wall Street Journal today. It says Roger Stone's trial likely to be a spectacle. Ain't no likely about it. It's going to be a spectacle. You think, well, what in the world did the guy do? Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, they say he's got to have up to 20 years in prison. And what did he do? He lied to Congress, and he tried to contact some folks with WikiLeaks, and he lied to Congress for what he did. You know, here's the thing. It's just amazing to me that this is going on and that Donald Trump hasn't already pardoned this guy. I mean, it's just, it's ludicrous that this is going on, that this spectacle is being put forth on a person who is supposedly a friend of Donald Trump's. Now, mind you, I am not a Roger Stone fan. You guys know that. But, you know, to raid his house in the middle of the night with a 67-year-old guy, you know, with 15, 20 people with six or eight cars, I mean, what the heck? I mean, the guy is completely and totally, you know, he's an old guy is what he is. And he's just a weirdo. And so why are they doing this to him? Well, again, it's the Wall Street, Washington media spectacle. And we'll have to deal with all this stuff coming up. And in the meantime, we forget that nobody wants to talk about the fact that this past weekend the U.S. convoy in Syria was attacked by the Turkey-backed militants. Okay, how about that? No one talks about that. Russian Ministry of Defense announced on Sunday that a U.S. military convoy came under attack by Turkey-backed militants in Syria. American troops heading towards the Iraqi border, and I guess in heavy retreat, have been attacked from the land held by Turkish-backed militants in northern Syria, Russia's Ministry of Defense has claimed. Russian military sources who have this week seen in close vicinity of the U.S. troops amid Pentagon drawdown from border areas reported no casualties as a result of the alleged incident. So not only are we leaving, but they're attacking us and shooting at us as we're leaving. Guys, this whole thing, I remember I told you this a few months ago, that Syria is not done. Then a few weeks ago when we pulled out of Syria, I told you there's something else going on. Now we know we've seized the oil fields, which, by the way, if you want to impeach Trump, there's your reason. He's gone into a foreign country against the Treaty of Westphalia, which forbid that people go into a foreign country that's in the middle of civil war without being asked to come into that country. And now on top of everything else, the oil fields that belong to the Syrian people to help rebuild that country, we've seized and we're stealing the oil. If you want to impeach Trump, impeach you for that. Don't impeach you for all this other crap with Russia because it's just a bunch of lies. But Donald Trump can be impeached for doing that. So can Barack Obama for all the things that he did. But here's the thing, guys. Think through this for a second. Why are we not talking about the real issues over there? Why are we not going into detail about who really runs the United States and who really runs the Congress and how the American-Israeli Political Action Committee is so powerful? Why won't we talk about that? Why won't we talk about what's going on with the Rothschild banking cartel? Why won't we mention that, you know, this stuff is going on and has been going on, and we've got over 60 U.S.-Israeli dual citizens in Congress, and that the Defamation League pretty much does whatever it wants to do whenever it wants to do it. Why won't we talk about any of that? Well, we do on our show, but most people aren't going to mention any of this stuff. I mean, why in the world is Israel involved in all of these decisions here, globally, around the world, and we've basically become the mercenary for the Mossad? Why is that? Good question, guys. I posted an article on that today, as you can see on the website. Also, let's take a look at this American vaccine crazy stuff. This is this is an article today I posted on the website. It's from the Age of Autism, and it says, "The American Vaccination Program, Why Is This Legal?" It's by Laura Hayes. It's an excellent article, and I'm going to read you a couple of them. Why is it legal to mandate even one, much less scores of invasive medical procedures that include long lists of serious, often permanent risks, including death, chronic illness, and severe disability? Why is it legal to even do that? Why is it legal to force that? Number two, why is it legal to inject that which is universally acknowledged to be a neurotoxic, mercury and aluminum, meaning it damages both nerves and brain? Why is it legal to even inject that into the body? Why is it legal to inject that which has been banned from topical use? Thimerosal used to be used as a topical ointment to prevent infection. It's been banned and can't even be put on the skin because it's so toxic, but they can still inject it to us. I mean, think about that just for a second. Why is it legal to inject that which is used for the express purpose of inducing toxicity and inflammation, the two worst things for a developing infant? Why is it legal to inject that which is specifically included to help other ingredients permeate both cells and the blood-brain barrier, i.e. polysorbate 80, present in today's majority of vaccines? Why is it legal to inject known carcinogens, meaning that which causes cancer, into the body? Why is that legal? Why is it legal to inject ingredients known to cause infertility? Why is that legal? Why is it legal to inject that which causes asthma and allergies? Why is it okay to inject ingredients that are not required to be disclosed on the vaccine package? Why is it legal to inject pregnant women with products that have never been tested for safety and efficacy on pregnant women and which contain a long list of toxins, including neurotoxins and carcinogens, in addition to foreign DNA, antibiotics, viruses, retroviruses, and poisons? Why is that okay? And guys, ask yourself these questions. Why is it okay to do all of this? If you tried to do something with any other product besides a vaccine that would have these types of side effects, the American population would be in uproar if it was ever approved. It would never be approved. The Food and Drug Administration would simply say no. But they turn the other eye and they say, we're not going to see that. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to be involved in any of this. You think, what the heck? Why in the world are we involved in all of this? Why are we allowing this stuff to happen? Why do we turn a blind eye to the poisons we're injected in these kids and pretend like it's all right? And again, why do we turn a blind eye to Barack Obama, his Iranian nuke deal? Impeachable. He knew about Hillary's private email server. Impeachable. He knew about the IRS targeting conservatives. Impeachable. He knew about the DOJ spying on AP reporters and Obamacare and false Obamacare promises and illegal alien amnesty by executive order. He knew about Benghazi Gate and Operation Fast and Furious. Extortion 17, Taliban leaders. He knew about Miriam Carey and the birth certificate and all of his crazy executive orders and what he did in Egypt. He knew about all of this stuff. We could have impeached him for that, but they completely ignored it. Why? Why didn't we impeach the gay Kenyan? Why didn't we impeach the gay Kenyan? Why? Because he was the New World Order's do boy. That's why we didn't impeach him. Why didn't we yank his chain a little bit? Because he was the New World Order's do boy. And he basically was put there for a specific purpose. And again, it's to control the left-right paradigm. That's all Trump's doing too. Trump's not in charge. Guys, I told you this years ago when Trump took office. If Donald Trump's in charge, he'll stop the chemtrails. And it was so funny too, Austin, when we said that. Because for a few weeks after the election, the chemtrails stopped. And we were like, oh no, the chemtrails stopped. This is great. And there they come again. Yesterday I was up in Tallahassee. Chemtrails everywhere. I mean, zigzag across. They actually had a plane, Austin, flying at 10,000 feet, do a circle over the top of Doak Campbell Stadium, blowing chemtrails out. I couldn't believe it. I could see the doggone plane, right over the doggone stadium. Did a U-turn right over the stadium, spraying out chemtrails. And I thought to myself, well, I guess it's time to be a bug today, and I guess it's time to get out the raid. This is crazy. Been there, done that. I saw that. Same thing happened to us when we were at the national championship game. Remember in Pasadena, Austin, back in 2013 season? We got there, and all of a sudden they started crisscrossing and lacing us. So I'm in the middle of the game. I am in the middle of the game, and I see this plane fly over the stadium and dump this crap on us, and I yell in the stands, look at that plane. Look at what he's doing. Look at what he's spraying. Can anybody see this but me? Crickets, crickets, crickets. Not a person even looked up. And I thought, well, they must think that I'm like certifiable or something by now, but they don't even look up. Didn't even see it. Didn't have one person, Austin, even make a response when I did that. And I thought, wow, are we that asleep? Crazy. Oh, by the way, last week I called up Disney because I had read that they were putting metal detectors in their main hotels, the Polynesian and a few other ones, in the Contemporary Hotel, that you were getting off the monorails, coming into from the parking lots, and you were having to go through metal detectors. And I didn't believe it because I've been over there and I didn't see any metal detectors on their property. So I called them up and I said, are you guys doing metal detectors? And they said, well, we can't answer that question. We got to transfer you to a supervisor. And sure enough, a guy came on who was very, very knowledgeable. And here's what he told me. He goes, no, we don't have metal detectors at the hotels. Now, we do have them at the theme parks to prevent people bringing weapons. And I said, well, I knew about that. He said, well, we won't have them at the hotels. And I said, well, what's your policy about having guns in the hotel? And he goes, well, it's against Disney policy. And I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, well, it's against Disney policy. I said, I still don't know what you mean by that. I said, does that mean that if you see somebody with a gun? He says, if we see somebody with a gun or carrying a gun or brandishing a weapon or even showing a weapon or even profiling a gun, we will ask them to put the gun into storage, have it locked up, or return it to their vehicle, but it has to get off the property. And I said, well, what about if somebody has a gun in their room laying on the counter? He goes, well, he says, if a person has a gun in the room and the maid service comes in, and they see the gun in the room, we will dispatch Orange County Sheriff's Department immediately to that person's room and wait for that person to return. I said, what? He said, yeah, we'll dispatch the sheriff. You can't have guns in the room. And I said, well, what if they don't want room service? What if they decide they don't want room service to take care of the rooms? He goes, we don't allow that. If they don't want room service, we will have security go into their room every day and sweep their room. And if we see a weapon, we dispatch Orange County Sheriff's Department. This is Dizzy, guys. From the horse's mouth, call him and ask him. And I said, well, what if it's in the suitcase? What if you have it buried in your suitcase and it's zipped up inside of a zipper bag inside of the suitcase? Are you going to go through the luggage and look through the suitcases and try to find weapons? He goes, well, no, we don't do that. We just walk through the room to make sure we don't see anything. Wow. Where have we come from? Where are we going? And what in the world is going on? And is any of this okay, Austin? What do you think?
Well, no, I mean, it's just not okay. This is where it's headed. And I mean, and this is why we continually put this information out there for everyone to make your own decisions on it. This is why I don't support Disney. I mean, this is why we see all these things happening. This is why when they arrested Roger Stone, that CNN was tipped off ahead of time and had front row service to an FBI raid where, you know, I think 30 or 40 agents stormed his house at 4 o'clock in the morning. This is why they're doing this all over the country with red flag gun laws. They're trying to present a mindset of submission so that people don't have the idea to defend themselves anymore, so people don't have the grit anymore to be self-sufficient and want to protect themselves and their family and their friends and their country. This is why they're doing it, and they're slowly dissolving that mindset. And if they do it with the young generation and they can get enough of them on board with this, then they'll make sure that when they get into politics in the next 15 to 20 years, if they can't get their agenda pushed by them, they will have enough votes to try to get this rolling. So again, we appreciate the support. Thank you for everything you guys continue to do for us. Thank you for the emails. Thank you again for forwarding our show every single day. Be sure to check out the product of the week. Really appreciate the support on that. We have the product of the week that you guys voted for, and it won, the GHI Cleanse on sale for 15% off. And also, too, Ted was on the Hagman Report on Friday. Great show on Friday. We had the HR5 coupon for Hagman Report 5, HR5, that's what the coupon code is, HR5, and it gets you 5% off store-wide on regular price products. And no, it does not work on products that are already massively on sale like the GHI or the kits. I had somebody email me that earlier today. We're already giving 15, 20% off on a kit. We don't stack coupon codes ever. So again, but thank you for the support. Be sure to check out the supplements and all the different specials we have online at the website, healthmasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow, as always.